Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The Chorus Call operator speaking. Welcome to the presentation of the full year 2013 results of the Brunello Cucinelli Group. I remind you that all participants are in listen-only mode. Following the initial presentation, there will be the opportunity to ask questions by the financial markets. Speakers will be Mr. Brunello Cucinelli, CEO and President of the company, Moreno Ciarapica, CFO, and Pietro Arnaboldi, Investor Relator. In order to receive help by an operator during the conference call, press star followed by zero. And now I'd like to give the floor to the President and CEO of the group, Mr. Brunello Cucinelli. The floor is yours. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize if I have to cough once in a while, but I have had a flu. It is a very beautiful day today. Really, spring has set in. I will not be speaking too fast so that Chiara, our very esteemed translator, can translate in a clear way whatever I will be saying to you. So it is now the second balance sheet, second yearly results that we present since our IPO in 2012, and I'd like to start to open the meeting by thanking you partners, investors, that we consider as custodians of our companies. I'd like to thank our analysts, and I'd also like to thank you all for all that you've been doing for our company. So I propose that we do the following. First of all, I would provide you with some data and, you know, about what we are today, thinking that we are as of 31st of December 2013, that I would give the floor to the CFO, Moreno Ciarapica, who will give you more colors on the results. Then I would resume the floor in order to give you an outline on 2014 and 2015 and our projects and plans and how we see the years ahead. So I'd like to start from 2013, the past financial year, which for us, for our company, it has been a very, very special year, a very important year for us. And now I'd like to list a few highlights. So as to revenues, 322.5 million, with an increase of 15.5% at current exchange rates. As to EBITDA, 58.2 million euros, an increase of 18.5%. Therefore, from this viewpoint to, we are basically getting closer to the 18% of revenues EBITDA, that it's starting to become a very interesting figure for us. As for exports, 79.3%. Italy, 20.7%, so which means that we are very happy with this distribution and breakdown. As to markets, well, the U.S. market grew, the speaker corrects himself, North America grew by 23.2%, Europe reported a growth by 20% net. Then China, the greater China, improved by 52.5%, but obviously, as you know, our turnover there amounts to 4.9% of our revenues, so obviously there is quite a remarkable growth, but the turnover by itself in absolute values is not so important. As to the rest of the world, the growth there was 5.7%, and our very esteemed Italy marked a slight decrease with minus 2.9%, but I would like to dwell upon this issue slightly by saying to you that for us, Italy always plays a very, very important role, especially when it comes to the judgment and the feedback on the taste of our collections, because when an Italian client or customer passes a judgment on the collection, if this feedback is that the collection is interesting and modern, the value of this feedback is extremely high to us. When a foreigner, when they come to Italy, it is very important for them to see the product displayed in Milan, Venice, Rome, or Capri. So the Italian market for us remains a very, very interesting and important market, although it accounts for 20% of our revenues. As to CAPEX and investments, we invested quite a sizable amount, 39.4 million, for production plant and stores. Yes, and as to the production facilities, we are moving there in 2 weeks. But anyway, I'll tell you more about it when I'll be dwelling on 2014. As to amortization and depreciation, 11.2 million. So, which means that the net income is 29.6 million, which is plus 10.9%. As to the debt, end of the year debt, 16.1 million. Today, during the board meeting, we decided for the dividend payout, 24.5% of profit, so 0.11 euros per share. Last year it was 24.2, but as you know, we would like to keep growing, to keep expanding, envisaging that we do not carry too much debt, because you know down well that I have a fear of debt. We want to keep investing quite massively and significantly for the company, and also to pay out some dividends. So what about our markets geography breakdown? North America accounts for 33.8%. So we can say that the percentage is equal to Europe, 33.5%. So North America and Europe basically share the same percentage. Italy accounts for 20.7%, rest of the world 7.2%, and Greater China 4.9%. As for our sales, our revenues, 53% stems from the multi-brand channel, and these multi-brand doors are basically always the same, more or less 700 clients, multi-brand clients, representing, as I was saying, 1,000 doors. 47% of revenues arises from our monobrand channel that are broken down as follows: 37% directly operated stores and 10% franchise stores. I'd like to highlight that we opt for franchise stores in specific, maybe tricky countries, for example, the former Eastern Europe countries or in the Middle East. Otherwise, we tend to open DOS stores. At the end of this full year 2013, we have 98 monobrand stores, 61 of which DOS and 37 franchise stores. We, as of today, we export to 60 countries, and we're very pleased with this. And we have 1,004 employees. Another important remark that I would like to make is suppliers. And by suppliers, we mean both raw material suppliers and suppliers that supply us with specialized workforce. Every year in December, we hold a great meeting where we invite the 330 approximately manufacturers, third-party manufacturers, representing 3,200 employees altogether, and while we discuss with them, we discuss future strategies. But what we're very pleased about is that we met in December, as I was saying, and their financial situation is sound, is healthy and sound. Of course, I'm talking here about companies that boast a very high level of craftsmanship and quality. These are the only companies we supply from, we source from. And we actually realized that the average age of their employees is on average 42 years, and the owners on average are 41, 42 years of age. And as a result, we have quite a rosy future ahead, but on one condition, provided that we are able to protect them, to support them, so that they can have a healthy income statement and that they can work in interesting, pleasing working conditions. So we try and really look after this, these suppliers. As to collections now, 67% womenswear and 33% menswear. Menswear grew by one point, it was 32%, so it's really two-thirds womenswear and one-third menswear. We have one single brand, as you already know, and 85% of this brand is made up by apparel, and the remaining 15% accessories. Last year, accessories accounted for 14-point-something%, but in this case, too, it is very important that you be us as apparel manufacturers, and mainly daywear, luxury daywear, which is basically the luxury ready-to-wear that went down in history in the 90s in Italy, and there is a lot of demand for this kind of apparel in Italy, and we witnessed this, we experienced this really recently since we basically finished the sales of the women's wear collection. So I'd like to say that from the results viewpoint and image viewpoint, this has been quite a relevant year. And I would even dare, I would dare say, very, very important in terms of image, because there is really a great appreciation around for this true made in Italy. And by true, I mean with a very high degree of craftsmanship, manual work, quality, and obviously creativity too. Otherwise, you cannot be contemporary. But I feel there is really a lot of focus on the topic, on the issue of distribution. And I believe, I'm particularly keen on this, because I believe that for true, absolute luxury, having a product that is distributed with care in a gracious way, it really makes the difference. And I'm confident about this. I heard people saying this, and all the great multi-brands saying this at all the trade fairs that I attended. So we very firmly believe in absolute luxury. Honestly speaking, we try to imagine that our industry is still a young one. But you see, the average age in our company of the workforce is 36.2 years, so basically 36 years, and management are slightly over 40. So what we try to do is to work, trying to respect the interests of your investors, of our people, of our territory, of our suppliers, and hopefully, we hope that we keep working in a gracious way, so we can say that at the end of the day, we have enjoyed a very special 2013. We're very happy with the results. But now I'd like to maybe give the floor to the CFO, Moreno Ciarapica, who will give you a bit more details and colors, and then I will resume the floor later on to give you some more indications on 2014 and some hints at 2015 for our growth plan. Thank you for now. Thank you, Brunello, CFO speaking, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Brunello has already mentioned the revenues development at length, and by the way, we had already discussed it on January 16th when we made these figures public. So as far as the first line of the income statement is concerned, I'd like to provide you with just a couple of further information. As for the reported growth in 2013, it happened in all distribution channels. The retail grew by 50% thanks to the growth in the existing stores, and also thanks to new openings, and also to the 6 conversions from the franchise stores, franchise channel. The franchise wholesale monobrand channel grew by 20%, which a homogeneous basis corresponds to 25% growth, excluding the conversions of the last 24 months. And in this case, too, this growth is a balance between growth in existing stores and a limited number of openings. So the wholesale grew by 1.2%. And as far as the multi-brand channels, the growth was achieved thanks to a growth that was able to maintain a constant focus on the exclusivity of distribution. And multi-brand increased by 2.5% without increasing number of doors. As of today, 10th of March, the total number of boutiques is still unchanged, 98, with the only variation being the conversion of the two boutiques in Cannes and Knokke in Belgium, conversions to the directly operated stores that were already factored in the plan and the strategy that we pursued in 2013 when converting these two stores which will also be continue in the second half of the year with the three monobrand stores in Japan, which according to the plan that had already been announced in this quarter, they will be converted to directly operated stores, the three monobrand boutiques in Japan. As to the like-for-like in the retail stores, plus 7.3%, the like-for-like performance in 2013, and in the last few 2 months, we have 6.1%, a result that is basically consistent with our expectations. We have always told you that we would like to have a 5.67% like-for-like. This is a sustainable like-for-like performance for us. Once we have discussed this first line of the income statement, I'd like to move to the slide number 11 of the presentation by analyzing the main items of the income statement, which, as far as 2012 is concerned, in the adjusted column, they exclude the non-recurring items, that is, the IPO costs of 2012. All developments basically confirm the soundness and sustainability of results growth in line with our expectations. 2013 results, in a nutshell, they highlight a 210 basis point growth in the first margin, driven by the evolution of the channel mix and a higher contribution to sales from retail revenues, a weight that went from 27.5% up to 35.8%. And then there is the 170 basis point increase of SG&A. These are mainly the increasing costs linked to the business development in the retail monobrand channel, i.e. rents and personnel costs. So basically, the EBITDA margin moves up by 40 basis points from 17.5% to 17.9%, thereby reaching, as Brunello was saying, that level, that 18% of revenues level, that is, we believe is very, very interesting for an industrial company, apparel company, like we are. We would like also to point out higher depreciation from 7.1 million to 11.2 million relating to investments for new openings and in existing stores. We'd like to point out the result of the financial management, which is in line with last year's, and a tax rate at 34.6%, basically in line with the 34% reported last year. And we believe that this latest value is consistent with the annual taxation of the next 2 years, in the next few years. As for the net results of the period affected by the important depreciation I just discussed, is therefore increasing by 10.9% against the adjusted figure for 2012, with a negative minority result by 0.9%. These losses on minorities are basically due to the impact of the result of the impact of the partnership in China because of structural costs to develop the business, which is the result, which is in the phase of startup, with results that will fall in line with the rest of the world in the coming years. Hopefully anyway, this is our plan. As to slide number 12, we provide details on changes resulting in the EBITDA increasing from 49.1 million to 58.2 million this year. That, as we saw, was driven by the improvement in the first margin by 31.8 million. The grey box basically reports the changes in operating costs, including the cost of personnel and rent, that we analyze more thoroughly in the following slide. And slide 13, as I was saying, basically shows how the cost increases, 22.7 million, and the impact of SG&A on the total sales, plus 170 basis points, is basically prompted by the increase of personnel costs and rents. Personnel costs, plus 60 basis points, an impact that goes from 15.1% to 15.7%, well, this rise is due to the increase of staff in monobrand stores network that are included in the store's employees and office staff, whose total moves up from 392 FTE units in 2012 to an average of 590 in 2013. Costs of rents plus 170 basis points, with an impact moving from 4.6 to 6.3, basically increase as a result of the DOS network development. The increase in the personnel cost and rent cost must be seen as a result of both the 9 openings and 6 conversions to the direct channel that took place in 2013, and also as a result of the openings that took place in 2012. 14 openings and 9 conversions, whose effects become visible on a yearly basis only in 2013. Slide 14 gives some colors on the other items making up operating costs, whose impact basically is stable from 20.6 to 20.2%. And among these items, we'd like to point out investments in advertising and promotions, reporting in absolute values an interesting rise, 2.4 million, whereas in percentage we maintain the 5.5% level. And then we would like to highlight the reduction of agent fees incidence by 90 basis points, and this item is also a consequence of the evolution of the channel mix, sales channel mix, and this is in favor of the retail channel. Let's now move on to the balance sheet and slide 15, where we report the changes in working capital. And there is a healthy and positive management of working capital that can be derived from this, whereby it enables the absorption of the natural increase of inventories, which since 9 openings took place and 6 conversions to the direct channel, well, this item increases, moving from 28.5% to 29.1% because of this. As a whole, there is an improvement of the strict net working capital from 23.2% to 22.8%. As far as receivables are concerned, the reduction of 4.6 million in absolute values is to do for over the half, 2.6 million, that is, to the impact of the 6 conversions to the direct channel, so which were receivables as of the 31st December 2012, and they moved to the direct channel during 2013, whereas the remaining part of these receivables, this reduction was favored by the very changes in the geography mix, with shorter payment terms due to well-established practice, that is, in international markets. As it was the case in the previous years, I'd like to say that the loss on receivables is still very, very modest, and this year this loss was 0.39% of revenues. In slide 16, we highlighted the fact that the ongoing sizable CAPEX plan continues, with significant commercial CAPEX and a buoyant increase in the production plan investments that Brunello mentioned before. Against net investment of 39 million, the net financial position, slide 17, you see the details, the NFP amounted to 16.1 million at the end of 2013, therefore confirms the seasonality typical of the business in the quarterly analysis that we wanted to show to you. So this is the end of my contribution. I'd like to give the floor back to Brunello, who will give you some more detail on the future. Good evening. Here we are back again, Brunello speaking. So I'd now like to dwell on 2014 mailing and then some hints at 2015 as to the strategy and also the rest. Obviously, it is March the 10th today. We are very close to the end of the quarter. So we imagine that this first quarter, once again, will perform very, very well. What about the plans? Well, basically, the idea is that of not changing anything. We do not want to change anything. We would like to open 5 to 6 DOS stores in 2014. All the contracts and the agreements have been secured. 2 or 3 franchise stores, one of which is in Seoul, where we have a very important partner, Shintege. And then we would like this year to be the year when, wherever possible, in existing stores, we maybe try to gain maybe 70, 80 extra square meters, or maybe in some other locations we might maybe move our location just slightly in order to include in the stores this men's suits. And I'm sure you are familiar with this case, but I'd like to give you a few highlights on this. So we envisage that at the end of 2014, revenues should be 51% coming from multi-brand and 49% coming from monobrand channel. And when I say monobrand channel, you know that more or less 10% is always franchise stores. I'd now like to talk about a little bit about collections, or maybe just a few numbers, and then maybe the second half of my presentation I'll be talking about collections, men's suits first and foremost. So in this year, 2014, we envisage a CAPEX 35, 37, 39 million euros, unless there are some special opportunities arising. But if some special opportunities arise, we will of course inform you if there are some very interesting extraordinary operations, like it was last year, the acquisition of Davinza, and by that I mean the know-how of the Davinza factory. So in 15 days, in 2 weeks, we will be moving our production plant to the expanded facilities, that is double the size as before. And so in 2014, we will be ending the investment on the new production facilities, so 28,000 owned square meters. And always bear in mind that we have nearly 10,000 square meters, rented square meters. But this idea of having 20% of real estate, rented real estate, we have always aimed at this from the very beginning, from the start of the business, because this way there is always the possibility to take a step backwards if needed. So 2014 is the third year of massive investments, where we put together 27 million 2012, 40 million 2013, and 35, 38 million in 2014. So 105 million investments over the 3-year period, where we can say that at the end of 2014, well, this is the end of the important investment plan, so that in 2015 we will have basically an ordinary business, around 25 million capex. As to the product, it's been a beautiful year. 2013 has been a beautiful year, and especially 2014 is a very good year for in terms of product. You know that for fall winter we have presented this collection of men's suits, and for us this opening to the world, the universe of men's suits, should provide a lot of appeal in terms of brand, and also in the following years some revenues, because we think that in men's suits there is a lot of demand worldwide. There is a demand for a more contemporary look, a more modern kind of suit. So the presentation happened at the PT Trade Fair. It went very well, and everybody thought that the product was very interesting and pretty fresh and youthful. And by that, I mean a product whose target is a 35, 37-year-old gentleman, of course an affluent gentleman because you know our prices, but a suit that a six-year-old like me could also buy and wear if I want to look younger, and a 27-year-old gentleman can also wear. And by the way, there is a great now comeback of suits because 25, 30-year-olds now, unless they work in a bank or at university, they will not have a suit in their wardrobe. So this is the important breakthrough for 2014 and 2015, this project of men's suit. As for the women's wear collection that enjoyed quite a sweeping success, and now we've just come back from the Milan Fashion Week that marks basically the end of the fall-winter collections, and there we presented a collection whereby we extended the evening wear for women. We had about 30 dresses and now we have about 50 garments in order to complement the offering. But all in all, I have to say it's been a special year. So I'd like to keep repeating how valuable multi-brands are for us. Why is the multi-brand so valuable for us? Because when Harrods, Neiman Marcus, Saks, Bergdorf or Barney or the Japanese multi-brand clients come to view your collection after viewing 200 different collection and 80 fashion stores, and they pass their judgment, express their feedback on the collection, that feedback is very valuable for us. So we came home from the collection presentation quite happy with how the product went, because journalists and commentators and trade commentators judged that this product was very contemporary. And you know what it means to have a contemporary product, how important it is. And I seriously believe that at least in the fashion industry, products must be contemporary. And in order to be contemporary, you must be willing to listen. And you must dare listen to, you see, when your shop managers come and they express their judgment on the collection, you have to listen to that, but to a certain extent, because they have not been around viewing collections, whereas the great, the major multi-brands, they know everything in detail. And this is also true for many Italians that have a very high sensitivity in this field, because even though they do not make huge turnovers, as I was saying before, the feedback from an Italian client is something that we value very, very much, so we attach a lot of value to. So we brought home interesting results and a great image of the product itself. So we can say that come June, July, in stores, we know that we have products that the press and multi-brand customers have judged in a very special way, so in a very positive way. I'd now like to devote 1 minute to the great plan that we started last year, and it will become more intense, so to speak, this year, the Schools of Arts and Crafts project. So on the one hand, you have the Schools of Arts, so dance, ballet, music, theater, and they are supported by the Foundation Cucinelli. They have been so for quite a while. And we thought of flanking the School of Arts with the School of Trades and Crafts. We started last year, and allow me, although we have always done our training in-house, usually in the company, in-house, we have 60 young apprentices with their professional work agreement, of apprenticeship agreement and contract. And we wanted to flank this in-house training with the School of Crafts in different subject matters, and I'll list them to you now. Well, one thing is you should know. the subject matters and disciplines that have to do with apparel, the Brunello Cucinelli SPA, they are supported by the company, whereas the subject matters and disciplines that have not to do with the company know-how, they are supported by the private foundation. So these are all the different kinds of disciplines that there is the mending, there is agriculture, the mending and knitwear for the company, and then we have agriculture supported by the private foundation, because we would like this small hamlet, Solomeo, to become a kind of school. And I seriously, honestly believe that schools are the salt of the earth, of the ground, and I wanted the foundation to be committed on this front. And since I seriously, I also seriously believe, and I felt that this was a generally perceived idea at PT and in the other trade fairs, there is a great demand of very special handmade products. Special handmade products, as we were saying during the board meeting today, the only hands that can manufacture them are skilled hands. That's why we have always invested massively in this training, so much so today, even more. And an important thing to be added now, these schools that basically consist of 5 hours attendance a day for 9 months, participants' average age is 23, 24 years. By the way, just a digression, when we came across this idea, we thought that maybe just a handful of people would enroll, and I'd like to say that the last school for model making, that's not really fashion designer. Model making means to, you know, cut with a scissor and drawing models. Out of 15 students that can attend the school, we had 400 applications, and for 9 places for brick masonry, we had 100 applications. Of course, the objective of these schools is that of really training people. And why is that? Because they are very concrete, down to the point. For example, in the first day, brick masons, they prepare the cement, but on the second day, they start building. So I think that after 9 months of school, they will have learned very, very important basics. So the great importance and value of schools, of quality, of manual skills. And then I repeat it once again, the great value attached to product exclusivity. While talking with the other players in Milan and at Pitti, talking to the great CEOs of the major department stores, research is always pursuing high quality, high taste, exclusivity of the product, and this is something that we should never compromise about. And then beside this, there is something special, all the more special, visual merchandising. We, together with our very esteemed master Ralph Laurent, we are among the greatest supporters of visual merchandising. But you know, if visual merchandising is important for women's wear, well, visual merchandising is essential for menswear. A grey or a blue navy suit, you see, a jacket, it really depends on how you match it on the mannequin, on the kind of pockets, a square of shoes that you combine it with. So visual merchandising plays a very important role for us. So drawing the first conclusion, and of course, We will be waiting, hopefully many of you will come on the 20th and 21st of May for the Investor Day to have an interesting conversation. I'd like to tell you what our idea is. The idea would be that you reach Solomeo in the mid-afternoon, 3 p.m., then we take a look at the company together. We have a discussion in the new production plant, as I said, then we have dinner together, and then the morning after, we hold a meeting in the theater, a very large meeting in the theater. So while waiting for the 20th, the 21st of May, I thought, honestly, to invite, honestly, I thought at the beginning that I might invite you and your families, but then we thought that some of you might not come because there are other coinciding events. But maybe next year I'd like to invite you all with your families. Of course, the company would bear the cost for you traveling, and the foundation would bear the cost for your family travel. But it would be an honor for us to have you, together with you, your children, your wives, your husbands, in our village. So, waiting for 21st of May, May would like to say that we do not intend to change anything. We want to maintain research style visual merchandising extremely high up on the agenda. We want to equally maintain extremely high a very selective distribution. Once again, a too massively distributed product, although it might be beautiful and costly, it could even turn cheap because of a too massive a distribution. Then, once again, we'd like to say that we believe in absolute luxury made in Italy, made with the expertise that I tried to outline to you before. And we also, honestly, have the impression that we have set up an industry somehow. You know, I rather prefer the term industry, and if you industry, artisanal industry would be the best, the most suitable definition for us, that also has lies the foundation for a gracious growth, a healthy growth in the years ahead. So all this considered for 2014, and also considering the results at PT, the Milan presentation, both in terms of numbers and of image, and considering the order intake for fall-winter, we have quite a positive feeling about our company this year. And I'd also like to convey to you, maybe to the Italian audience, generally speaking for everybody, that we'd like to convey the fact that I believe that in the world there is a civil, moral, political, human and economic renaissance on the way, especially in our splendid Italy. And for me, who I'm Italian, because I want to work in our country with our people. So this said, we envisage 2014 where our industry can grow, you know, with a double-digit gracious growth, the definition you're familiar with, both in terms of revenues and profits, and a company that is still working whilst respecting human dignity and attempts to work without damaging mankind. So for now, I'd like to thank you immensely for your esteem and respect that you have conveyed to us in the last 2 years. Both thank you, analysts, that write quite moving things when you mention the true values where our company is rests, upon which our company rests, and also thank you, investors, that support our company. So thank you. We now may open the floor for discussion. Chorus call operator speaking would now open the floor for questions. Whoever wants to ask a question, press star followed by one on your keypad. In order to exit the booking list, press star plus two. Please ask your questions using your receiver. Whoever wants to ask a question, press star plus one now. The first question from Flavio Cereda, Merrill Lynch. Good evening, Brunello. I have a very basic question on the openings envisaged for this year. You mentioned the three conversions in Japan, we knew, and you also mentioned Seoul for the monobrand. But can you give us maybe more colors on knowing that where basically where these locations will be, where these openings will take place. Well, thank you, Flavio. I can provide you with all the details. We will be opening DOS in Vienna, San Francisco, Atlanta, Sao Paulo. It's a very interesting location to come in the years to come. Then we double the size of our store in London by floor. Then we have the upper floor in Chicago. In Los Angeles, we identified an interesting location in Rodeo Drive. And then two very important franchise stores, Seoul, where we have Shinsegae, a partner, a very important partner, an expert in the fashion industry, and Taipei. So these are our plans in terms of openings. But I'd like to repeat once again, if you want, this is the year where we basically focus on existing stores. For example, we will not be opening any new stores in China, but if we have the possibility to move to, we have the possibility to move to a wonderful location in Beijing, Chicken Place, which is very expensive, and the same goes for Shanghai too. So we have two moves, serious moves to other locations. And why is that? Because in China, we want to have very few stores. We want our esteemed Chinese people to buy in the West, shop in the West, and we want to provide a special service in the Chinese stores. Maybe you buy a suit in Milan, you go back to Shanghai, and you have your tailor in a Shanghai store that can maybe take it in if needed. So this is the plan for the stores. So this year, pretty limited openings, 5-6 DOS and 2-3 franchise stores, and consolidation and great focus wherever possible on the existing stores, because we also have now men's suits to be displayed, and you know that very often when you sell men's suits, you need the tailor to go with it, so this is a very important thing. And in your view, in Italy, in your Italian stores in 2013, what is the what was the percentage of sales by tourists? That's a great question, Flavio, and I'm happy that you are interested in our splendid Italy. You see, I'm particularly pleased with Italy because after coming back from Florence, Pitti, and then Milan, we achieved wholesale revenues that were on the increase. But the thing that I liked most besides that was the willingness of these clients to be innovator, to brush up their shop windows, to organize events. So maybe this is the first year where we mark a very slight, maybe even more than a mile difference between the north and the south of Italy, and between the large touristic destinations and the non-touristic destinations. But generally speaking, we see for the coming year in Italy a growing revenues, whether it is 2 or 4%, it's the same, but it should have a plus sign. So that's for sure. Now, what I like the most is the attitude that Italians had when they wrote their orders. And you know, for us, the value of Italian clients for collections is very, very high. Another important thing that I'd like to add: Italians, like foreigners, they are really selecting their products very carefully. You see, making a selection between ordinary, plain, very well-distributed products and maybe products that are not so well-distributed and more interesting. Thank you, Flavio. Thanks very much. I hope I was clear enough in my answer. Otherwise, ask my question again. There's no problem whatsoever. And this goes for everybody. If you want to ask the question, you can press star plus one on your keypad. For further questions, press star plus one on your phone. The next question is by Paola Carboni from Equita. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on the like-for-like rate. We only have 8 weeks of 2014 to judge from, but maybe if we could have some color in the different geographies. And also, if this can be a reliable trend or if it's maybe distorted by the fact that the sales were on, so it must be taken, these results, with a pinch of salt. So generally speaking, for the whole year, do you expect something different in the first part or the second half, or can there be maybe a change in speed in the second half of the year? Thank you for the very interesting question, Brunello replies. First of all, I'd like to repeat once again that for us, who deal in the fashion industry, it's not, it doesn't really work for those who do accessories, because what really matters is the collection in a 6-month period. So if you ask me how the fall/winter 2013 collection fared, I can tell you that it fared very well. If you take the winter collection, you see, for this year, what is interesting is basically furs and shearlings, and so maybe this can, August is more interesting, sorry, October is more interesting than August, because according to the taste in the year, you might buy too light sweaters or maybe too silk blouses. So the judgment that really matters is the one that is passed at the end of the semester, because that's where you can say how the collection went. And this happens when you receive your sell-through rates from the department stores at the end of the 6-month period. So let's now talk about the specific 2 months. I do not think that that sales really mattered, because it basically went like last year. Maybe in a part of America, in the New York area, New York, it was really excessively cold. Some stores were even closed due to the adverse weather conditions, but to offset this, the West Coast fared really, really well, because the climate is much better there. Well, as far as our company is concerned, Paola, I keep repeating that we should mix every day. We can't possibly live imagining that there's a 2-day storm in New York and then that there is, you know, a good weather in Los Angeles. That's not the way to work, always thinking about the weather. What I say, that having they have pretty good deliveries in for the summer collection, and having since they have built their shop windows in time, we are pretty happy of how the semester will be, and it's 10th of March already. But for us, you should really consider that the semester is what really matters for us, because it's a very seasonal business. There is much difference between a silk blouse and a fur. Another important topic for menswear, Paola, well, this should be the year of coats, of outerwear. You know, it's been now many years that we've had no comeback from coats. We've had many down jackets, whereas this year will be the year of the coat. So I cannot possibly envisage that at the end of August and September we will sell very coats very easily. You must wait for the climate to change, because men tend to buy their coats when the season is in, not before that. So always with a pinch of salt, you should always focus on semester results. And the CFO adds that in terms of geography, we can with satisfaction say that we have a plus sign on all geographies, obviously with different shades, one geography and the other, but plus sign on all geographies. And Brunello is back and talking about with the multi-brand clients in touristic locations, Venice, Rome, Capri, and so on and so forth. They report that there is a great mood around. And what about the weight of the two halves? some elements whereby the second half could be stronger or weaker than the first half? Well, I would say we're always 48.5, 51.5, 49, 51. You see, there's not much difference. This is the proportion. The winter collection is slightly higher because maybe you can sell a heavy, you can sell a fur or a cashmere that costs more than a silk blouse. Well, as a matter of fact, what I meant was the speed based upon the orders or the climate. I meant the speed more than the relative weight. Well, Paola, I keep repeating the same thing. Brunello says, last year, a friend of mine during a meeting said, this year Christmas happens on a Wednesday. And you see, but for us, this is not an interesting remark. We work bearing in mind that the semester counts, the year matters. Otherwise, on a daily basis, if a storm sets in or the sun, you see, we ruin our day. But we don't want to do that. The climate is obviously important, so much so that the like-for-like, we have 5, 6 or 7%. That's what we factor in. Whatever comes, comes. No, but by climate, I meant the mood of the clients. Well, when you talk to the Americans, Brunello remarks, they are always smiling and happy. I'm going to the West Coast next week, and they invite you all the time. They want to organize events. There's a great mood there. There's a great mood in Northern Europe. Maybe the country that is struggling a bit is Italy, but where, nevertheless, I still perceive a different mood than in the past. You see, Paola, I'm Italian. I know this, and I'm very pleased with the result. Thank you. Next question by Simone Chelini, GVM Group. Good evening, Brunello. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to understand that your country is a two-speed country in terms of revenues. There is a retail side that has a gracious growth, like you call it, and then a multi-brand wholesale channel, which is much more gracious in terms of growth. Of course, the retail channel is impacted by the new openings, the new square footage that you are acquiring. Can you make me understand what the difference is in more mature stores? What kind of growth do you envisage in your DOS, of course the DOS that are fully operational, not the ones you just opened, compared to the multi-brand growth, wholesale multi-brand growth? So that when you decide to slow down in square footage in order to understand what we can achieve from one channel or the other at fully operational stage. Well, I do not think there are any mature channels, you see, and I can ensure that to you, Simone, speaking with the multi-brands, if your product is not contemporary, you go out of the department, so there is no mature channel. The channel can be slightly more mature, the total turnover, in terms of total turnover, but if your collection is not contemporary, you lose 30-40% and you exit that store. You are kicked out of that store. So the value of the collection is something very, very special. What I keep repeating to my staff, we should not just take into account numbers. We should go around and listen to what multi-brands say, because that's where the secret lies. And this season, two major department stores have excluded very important brands or massively reduced specific brands only based upon the product of their collection. So this is as far as multi-brands are concerned. As far as mono-brands are concerned, we consider a healthy like-for-like, a rate between that ranges between 5 and 7% a year. Because I think that as far as our company is concerned, it is not fair to envisage a 12, 15% like-for-like rate a year. What should happen in order to achieve a 15% like-for-like rate growth a year? So we would like to start from completely different figures. So we'd like to have 5, 7, 6, 7% like-for-like rate, healthy rate, can be 5%, 7% when you fare particularly well, when your collection was particularly successful in August and September. Maybe the same year they liked the winter collection less, so it depends. But the value of the multi-brand channel always remains very high. We seem not to grow too much in percentage terms, but where did we open our monobrand stores? In Hamburg. First, you had three stores. Once you open your monobrand, you have one great multi-brand and then your monobrand. So, if I was to report to you the multi-brand like-for-like, it is slightly higher, but this is just a natural consequence. If you open in Geneva, you have your great monobrand and then your great multi-brand, but you can't possibly have two multi-brands there. But this is my recommendation for everybody, always. We should always rely massively on multi-brands because they really are the experts of the fashion industry. They know their trade. And then the last important thing, if we have a store in Geneva, since we do not deal in accessories that much, so we do not have the same bag in Geneva and Shanghai, when we have to write the orders for mono brand stores in Geneva, we take a very careful look at what the Bongenie group bought, the multi-brand, because they know their customers better, because they know the sizes better, they know the markets better, in a word. Because, you see, we can't possibly wake up in the morning and, you know, have become suddenly overnight expert retailers. This is not us. We are artisans, and the culture of the multi-brand retail, that who is the best connoisseur of the Hamburg market? Mr. Brown. And when Mr. Brown has made their order, you try and follow suit in terms of size and the rest. So shall we buy more small sizes or large sizes? But you see, Simone, I've always been, so to speak, in love with multi-brands. So in 2014, we will probably achieve a 50-50% ratio between multi-brand and mono-brand. This is a very important achievement for us. So at the end of this year, we will have roughly 100 mono-brand stores, beautiful stores in beautiful locations. Because you see, opening 2, 3, 4 stores in the very same city, of course it's very easy to make a profit there, but I want this company to survive a decade or maybe 5 or 10 decades. Thank you for your question. Anyway, we'll meet soon, I hope. Before you think up of some more questions, I'd like to say to you that we keep doing the same roadshows that last year. I, myself, and Moreno Ciarapica always travels with Fabio Gnocchi, who is our commercial director, and I always travel with Riccardo. And so we are available for any questions. We do want to come and see you in person because, honestly speaking, I have to say that I would have never imagined to have special advisors like the one that you have been, like you, what you have been, you investors and analysts. You have asked us questions that made us improve and grow. In no other consultancy company would have told us these things that really make us learn, despite the fact that we would have paid them, because these things, they make us stronger, less vulnerable. And of course, this is a particularly happy time for us as well. But we have time for you. Once again, for any further question, press star followed by one on your keypad. Next question from Andrea Randore, Intermonte. Thank you. Good evening, Brunello. You have partly already answered my question, but my question is the following. You extensively spoke about the fact of remaining exclusive and your strategy on monobrands. As far as the multi-brand distribution is concerned, shall we gather that you are happy with the current results, or some further adjustments is called for? No, I can't say, Andrea, that we are happy. We are very, very happy. We have some selling spaces at Harrods that are beautiful. Now we are expanding there too. Then some new selling spaces at Neiman's, at Saks. You know, there's a new CMO at Saks, this 47-year-old lady who used to work for Harrods previously. We are very, very happy with the multi-brands, but not happy. We are more than happy, and what I like the most, honestly speaking, is that in the former Soviet Union, there are now more or less 50 stores from Uzbekistan to Kazakhstan, and you can't really imagine how beautiful they are in terms of taste. Multi-brands with 3,000, 2,000 square meters, displaying the product in a very fascinating way. Honestly speaking, I'm pretty sure that this will happen in China too. We only have 3 very high quality stores of this kind there. But if we had a chance to stop time, I would stop everything at 50% monobrand and 50% multibrand. But you see, once you come home from the trade fair and you spoke to 500 multibrands and they all told you that your collection is very special, you go home in a different mood, because you know darn well that for that season you will have very special products in your store. What my store managers tell me, well, I'm pleased with it, obviously, but you see, they have not been around viewing collections. Thank you for your question, Andrea. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of questions. So, if this is the end of questions, I'd like to thank you all immensely for all that you did for us. And please keep investing in our company. And hopefully, we will provide you with everything you need, with everything in whilst respecting our staff, our suppliers, whether they are raw material suppliers or third-party manufacturers. Thank you once again from the deep of my heart to you analysts. We are available anyway. Call us. Then the collection went very well. The other day, we started working on the spring-summer collection 2015. So we are pretty charged. And to imagine a great spring, summer 2015. Thank you and good afternoon.